heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, typically up to now, Barack Obama has been working behind the scenes, not saying a lot out in the public space, but a lot of it has been his organization, OFA, and how he has been maneuvering and pulling a lot of the strings behind the Democrat race. And of course, Joe Biden being now the nominee for the Socialist Democrat Party of America here. So at the DNC, we're finally starting to hear from the former president to see what he really thinks. Let me read you this quote here from the former president. This administration has shown it will turn our democracy down if that's what it takes for them to win. So we have to get busy building it up by pouring all our efforts into the 76 days and by voting like never before. Well, this president to those in power, those who benefit in keeping things just the way they are, they know they can't win you over with their policies. So they're hoping to make it as hard as possible for you to vote and to convince you that your vote does not matter. That is how they win. So that was number 44 speaking out at the DNC. And as in typical Democrat fashion, the first thing I see is that what he puts out there is exactly what they are doing themselves when he says that they'll do everything and turn our democracy on its head, basically, turn our democracy down, if that's what it takes for them to win, which is exactly where the Democrat Party is right now, as they tear our cities apart and politicize COVID and put the fear into people and then want to send these universal mail-out votes to get as many votes. And that was kind of a theme or a thread running through this. I think what we're seeing is we're seeing this party become unglued. I think they know that their time is really limited and they're grasping. Things are not too happy on that side of the parade, I'll tell you, because finally some of the stuff is starting to see the light of day. But the former president expressed his views and said he was not happy at all. But I think, and we'll get into all of the others here about the DNC, Kamala Harris accepts the VP, of course, and Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, your favorite. They had a lot to say on the DNC as well. But by far, I think probably the best quote so far for the DNC comes from President Trump. And the president says this. Let me play this quick clip for you. You can hear it from him yourself.
Now, President Obama did not do a good job. And the reason I'm here is because of President Obama and Joe Biden. Because if they did a good job, I wouldn't be here. And probably if they did a good job, I wouldn't have even run. I would have been very happy. I enjoyed my previous life very much. But they did such a bad job that I stand before you as president.
The president never won to let the other side get a word in. He always comes back with something quick and witty. And in this case here, he pretty well nailed it. There is a lot, though, that he says in that quote. And he's right. I don't believe President Trump would have ran for office. And we've seen that because he's on camera many times over the decades suggesting he had no desire to run. Although he talked politics and business as a citizen of our nation and as a voice of reason and somebody that was a influential and passionate businessman. He certainly had a lot to say about our immigration policies and our foreign affairs and our trade relations and things of the nature and many of the things he ran on that really left the president unsettled over the years as a citizen, as a private citizen, as many of us can relate to that, things that bother us that we'd like to fix if we were president. It's the same thing with Donald Trump. I mean, these are things that tormented him over the years. And he never could get his arms around why Washington didn't fix these problems. Because again, as a CEO mindset, you fix the problem and you move on. You don't keep ignoring it. Or the famous expression they use in politics is kick the can down the road. which is what they do all the time. And in the business world, you kind of can't do that. You kind of can't keep kicking the can down the road, because the can will come back and kick you in the ass is what will happen. It doesn't work that way in the private side. Government is a whole different animal. It's a whole different monster here you're dealing with, you know. It's a different set of rules entirely. Fact is, that's what has unsettled them, and that's why this president is in the position he's in, is because he has bought a lot of business practices and a lot of business ingenuity, and he handles problems differently. And of course, that leaves the swamp creatures and the establishment hysterical, you know, because again, he's not doing it their way. So their response always is that he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. It is. And all harpens back to the days when Trump first went to Washington, as I point out to you oftentimes, and Paul Ryan on the balcony showing him, you know, where the landscape is and the furniture is. I mean, he didn't know anything about Washington, really, in the scope of from the inside, I'm saying, you know, from the inside politics. Inside baseball is what you call it. He just didn't know. It's not a game he ever played in. So he was always on the private side. And so I remember that scene so well, on the balcony scene with Paul Ryan, who, you know, really became something else in all of this story. And it just puts things in perspective for you, which is why Donald Trump is such a threat to the system. I mean, he's such a threat to this establishment, not just crazy Democrat, socialist, Marxists, but also Republicans. They are scared shit of the president as well. They're scared of a Donald Trump. It's why a lot of the Republicans, that people refer to them as rhinos, but there's probably a lot of jackasses in there too, in between the mixed in with the rhinos, you know. That's why a lot of them ran like cockroaches out of Washington through the course of a night before the lights came on. Shoo, it's like a Raid commercial, you know. Bing, they're out of there, man. And a lot of them just retired, resigned. And, you know, there's so many of them. They're gone now. In fact, that's why the socialist Marxists took the House back, which brought, you know, Pelosi back to power, put the squad in there as well, was a lot of that reason. A lot of that's because the Republican Party abandoned our movement and abandoned certainly Donald Trump, but abandoned America more so, you know. Having said all of that, I think that quote is remarkable that the president puts out there. And he says, hey, listen, you know, Obama, Biden, you know, if they did a good job, I wouldn't be here. I mean, that's pretty honest, people. I believe he's absolutely telling the truth. And probably if they did a good job, well, I wouldn't even run for this job. And there's no way. He donates his check. He donates his money to not-for-profits and charities and things and causes. He doesn't take it. He doesn't take the $400,000 salary. We have a story up on that now on the platform about exactly that, but at America Out Loud. But he doesn't do that because he made that commitment. And this is a man who, when he says something, he follows through with his promise. It's very, very strange political figure indeed, because he's not a political figure, Trump. And so he actually honors the things he says he can do and wants to do, being a man of his word. Now, a lot of that, sometimes you can't get it through the system, because there is a system in play. It's an establishment, no doubt about it. And you also, the president is not a king. You have multiple branches of government, your three branches of government, and you have to play with the system. That's how this thing works. It works like a fine tooth Rolex or maybe a cheap Timex at times, you know. They still make Timex? I think they do. I'm not sure, really. In fact, I haven't worn a watch in years. I don't buy them anymore, because you always look at the time on your phone now, on the smartphone. So I don't do a watch anymore. So I don't know if they make that or not anymore. And I certainly don't own a Rolex or any of that business. So it is just funny as hell, actually. So the president sits up there and says, I'm listening to all you clowns talk. And, you know, and the reason I'm here is because of you. Had you done a decent job, even a respectable job or a passing grade, you got the trade deals together, if you fixed all of that, if you did some of the other things we're supposed to do and, you know, curb our immigration problem down there, or you set the economy on fire so we make money and as capitalists in the private side, hell, I would have stayed in my private life. I would have been golfing and enjoying life. He had the money. He didn't have to worry about it, really. So think about it, people. There's a lot of truth to that. Of course, Trump likes to play where the action is. I get that. And I understand fully why he ran. But it's the same way that I would have considered running as well. And I have considered running for public office, truth be told. Problem is, they'd probably assassinate me as well, because these people don't want truth. They don't want truth. They want to live in their fairy tale or horror story establishment viewpoints. And it's a corruption. It's just a breeding ground of corruption is all it is. That's the world of politics, sadly, which is why, sadly, a lot of people stay out of it. A lot of good people stay out of it. A lot of good Americans stay out of politics because they know it's a dirty, dirty business, and they don't want to get engaged in that. And it does kind of pull you down, people. I mean, there's times and days I get sick of it. Just want to say, you know what, I've had enough of this crap. Let's get on and do something more positive in our lives or something, you know. It is so true. And that's what they want. That's what the establishment want. They want to wear you down. And they're hoping to wear the American people down. And to some degree, they've succeeded. To some degree, they have succeeded, because there are a great many deal of Americans, I'd suggest to you, millions of Americans have turned the channel off and are pretty tired of the polarizing division and the nastiness that comes with all of this. And I got a lot of people I know in my life, smart people, good people, but they've gotten fed up with the game. And so they turned it all off and said, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore, you know? And that's part and parcel where the challenge we have now is getting good people involved in the game of life, game of politics, which is what Trump did. So I love that quote. Absolutely love it. But now, as far as listening to all of the players, we got a lot to talk about today with the DNC and some other various interesting allegations I want to bring up to you that may just send a rocket ship right through the DNC. That has also come to light. That's just Tara Reid. We'll talk about that as well. Fascinating thing there. The whole Me Too movement, or not. But again, like everything, these people use whatever they can use for their own political prowess, and the rest of it really doesn't matter. They're not fighting the good fight. So let me go ahead and play just a few minutes here of some of the highlights, lowlights, again, whatever you want to call it, of the DNC, so we can hear from some of the more recent and very interesting speakers that I know a lot of you are just thrilled to hear. Here it is.
I accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States of America.
This administration has shown it will tear our democracy down if that's what it takes for them to win. So we have to get busy building it up by pouring all our efforts into these 76 days and by voting like never before.
This can't be another woulda, coulda, shoulda election. If you vote by mail, request your ballot now and send it back right away. If you vote in person, do it early. Become a poll worker. Most of all, no matter what, vote.
There is no vaccine for racism. We've got to do the work for George Floyd, for Breonna Taylor, for the lives of too many others to name, for our children.
Donald Trump's ignorance and incompetence have always been a danger to our country. COVID-19 was Trump's biggest test. He failed miserably. Today, America has the most COVID deaths in the world and an economic collapse. And both crises are falling hardest on Black and Brown families.
I've seen firsthand Donald Trump's disrespect for facts, for working families, and for women in particular. Disrespect written into his policies toward our health and our rights, not just his conduct.
This president and those in power, those who benefit from keeping things the way they are counting on your cynicism. They know they can't win you over with their policies. So they're hoping to make it as hard as possible for you to vote and to convince you that your vote does not matter. That is how they win.
I've been guided by the words I spoke from the first time I stood in a courtroom. Kamala Harris, for the people.
To the young people watching, don't give up on America. Despite our flaws and problems, we've come so far. we can still be a more just, equal country with opportunities previous generations could never have imagined.
Donald Trump is destroying our country and everything we care about. We need leaders who will solve problems like climate change and COVID, not deny them.
We stay in this fight so that when our children and our grandchildren ask what we did during this dark chapter in our nation's history, we will be able to look them squarely in the eye and say, we organized, we persisted, and we changed America.
Do not let them take away your power. Do not let them take away your democracy. We are going to bring those words in our founding documents to life.
Well, you hear the former president there, and again, they project very well. That's what the left does. Whatever they put out there is what they're doing. They have it nailed down. And as he says here, the Trump administration has shown it will turn our democracy down if that's what it takes for them to win, which is exactly what the left has done through the entire last almost 4 years now, with everything they have thrown at this administration and more so thrown at the American people. There is no question. The other thing with Barack Obama is, you know, the voting. You see how they stress the voting. Now, that's going to be a theme and a thread. You heard several right there, but we'll make a couple of other thoughts about it here. Is this is why they want that universal mail-in voting. They want to drop the ballots out there in any way they can to get them across America. They don't care how many dead people vote, how many illegal immigration. They, in fact, encourage it. They don't care if people vote two or three times. Just vote. Vote. You can hear the stress in their voice. The Hillary Clinton, you heard here too. Vote. You got to vote. Everything's about the vote because they realize they're like a sinking ship. They've been set on fire here of their illicit activities. And sure, the more this is exposed, if Trump now gets the next 4 years and all these scandals come forward, we're going to know a lot more in just a few years than we would know right now. I mean, we're going to know a whole lot more. And that's where the clock is running right now with Durham and everything that's taking place. Is why it's so vital, this election, because if the left wins in November, you want to see, you know, cockroaches leave real fast. You're going to see the lights go off on all these investigations. They'll go off immediately. I'm telling you, it'll all change. Just like when the House took it back in the midterm in 2018, everything silenced there in the House and all the new problems came up with Schiff and Pelosi and Nadler and all of that, new scandals, new things they can try to throw at the president, whatever it is, more, you know, allegations of this, that, and the other, because that's what they do. That's the problem and the importance of this election, my fellow Americans, and why it is so vital, which is why you hear the left and you can hear the stress. The word is stress, not passion, it's stress. There's no passion in their voices now, because what you can hear the clenching of the teeth, and you can hear the, you know, the anger, the seething and the foaming and the rawr. You hear it from all of them, every single one of them. There's no passion there. There's no empowerment there. There's no patriotism there. There's no America there. It's just all, we're hateful bastards and we want what we want. And that's, just listen to every damn one of them. Just play it back and listen to every one of them. And you'll see, and that's why that vote and that thread all come through there, because they know. Listen, if you're on a sinking ship in the middle of a blessed ocean and this part of the ship is on fire and the other part is sinking faster and faster, you got to bail the water, put the ship out, and things are happening, man. And the clock is running and, you know, the shore is right here and, you know, you see what the problem is, and their ship is sinking. Their ship is sinking fast. It is on fire. And it's going down. And in the meantime, there's still a distance from any safety. And it looks like there's some treacherous problems ahead, potential sharks and some Durham sharks and some other problems, as well as, a candidate that is sadly got bad case of dementia and potentially Alzheimer's for that matter. I don't know what he's got. We don't really know. They haven't shared him much with the nation. They really are running this after very securely, every step. Do you notice how very orchestrated? It's really all timed. Everything is timed, even the mask and every little thing, where the finger touches the mask, how the camera is, who's in that shot, everything. I mean, they spent a lot of time on this, people. Not saying they did a great job with it, but they spent a lot of time because they would have already tripped up and fell on their face had they not done that, because it's a pack of lies. Everything they're touting, everything they're talking about and doing and preaching is just a pack of lies. So they would have tripped up and fallen on their face already, and they'd already be exposed. But they spent a lot of time crafting this in the back rooms of their, you know, maskless, smoky-filled rooms of nonsense and bullshit. They spent a lot of time there coordinating and crafting and coming up with all of these things of how they were going to run their virtual convention, which really was the best saving grace. It was a gift from the Chinese gods. The Chinese tech gods gave them the gift. And that's the ticket right there. Because without the Chinese tech gods giving them the gift of the COVID gift, then they would have been exposed already. They would have fallen on their face, and we would know that Biden's not capable. But you got to remember all the rest of the clowns that were up there initially on that the political contestant wheel, spin the wheel of Democrat fortune. And Vanna White comes out, they spin the hell of the wheel there, and you just knew where this thing was going with all those contestants. And they were falling all over each other. And, you know, nobody ever thought that Joe Biden, I mean, did anybody in their right mind? I didn't think, and you didn't think either. Come on. Nobody. I don't think a single one of you thought for a minute that Joe Biden would be the last man standing. Nobody really thought that. I mean, come on. There's no way, because he looked silly. They were beating the hell out of him, and there was nothing sane coming out of the man. And even then they were protecting him, but nobody, they didn't even think he was going to be the guy then. They were thinking one of these other contestants would be the one. But you see, the other contestants were horrible. It's like the worst pickings you could possibly have. You see, it's like going to find a date at a high school prom and they're all just so ugly, you don't want to bother with any of them. I know that's not terribly politically correct to say, but it does happen sometimes, you know. And so that's what I think the Democrat contestant, political contestant party was. They were all politically ugly, to put it, not physically ugly. So we get this in context. They weren't like, I'm not saying they're all, I mean, some of them may be, some of them may not be. I don't know, but they're not physically, but they're potentially politically ugly, ugly political ducklings of some sort. And so that was like, and just keep in mind, that was the cream of the crop. That was the best they have for the socialist Marxist movement. Think about that now. Just let that resonate a moment in your brain. So they had the best of the cream of the crop. This is the pickings of the socialist Marxist Democrat Party of America. This was the group here now. Okay, this is it. This is our best. It's what you have when you have a committee. This is our best. Here it is. This is what you have. You provide your best. Your power brokers, those are the ones who are up there. Okay. All right. So you had all those contestants in the game of Democrat Jeopardy, spin the wheel, pin the tail on the jackass. Okay. That was the game. All right. And all of those people tripping over each other to make fools out of themselves. It was like, you talk about a clown car, the clown club of cars. And, you know, wee-hee, you could just see it all. Sanders hanging out the window. You've seen a lot of those memes and the clowns are all fit in the car. Yay, yay, hey. And all of that said, and the one that wins it, the man standing, the purveyor of truth and the purveyor of brilliance within the Democrat, Socialist, Marxist group happens to be a man with dementia and Alzheimer's who can't remember shit. Joe Biden. He's the ticket. Yeah, we'll make him. He's going to be the man to lead us forward. Dun, dun, dun. He's the Marxist man of the moment. Marxist man of the moment. Joe Biden. Makes a lot of sense to me, people. So what about that sinking ship? That's half of the ship's on fire and the other half is sinking and you don't know what to do. You want to burn or get wet. I mean, it's pretty sick. Now, we, you know, when Barack Obama says, yeah, we got a lot of work to do, kids, you bet we do. We got to convince more people that everything we're saying about that, they don't realize that that's like our problems. Like, that's like a psychologist's nightmare. We got to make sure the American people don't get onto our joke here, and that, you know, we truly are. We can stay just above that somehow. And again, vote. We're going to send you back. Vote twice, vote three times, vote six or seven if you can. And if you're dead and you get a ballot, somebody fill it out for them and vote that way, please. Or come back from the dead and do it. But vote. Everybody has to vote. That's why there's such an emphasis on voting. And when they say it, you can sense the clenching of the teeth. You've got to vote. You hear the teeth. They come together like... You've got to vote. Everybody's got to vote. It's called democracy. Vote. And that's kind of what it is. That's where, you know, and then as soon as you say, well, you kind of can't do it. Oh, my God, you're taking away the vote. You don't want Americans to vote, you people. You know, I mean, this is, it's insane. No, you don't need an ID, you dumb cluck. Just get down here and vote. No, you don't need anything. Yeah, whatever. Just get it. You see a ballot in somebody's mailbox, or you see a three or four, and grab them and sign them and send them in. It's all good. Wow. That is really what they want. That is their, well, that's democracy to them. Well, sure, it is. It's a Marxist democracy. That's a Marxist democracy. Socialism Tendencies. That's the new book. Someone's going to write that book. And somewhere, and this is how you win elections. You just, you know, and then you can get on there and say, well, I got a few more million votes from California and New York, where we've, I don't know what they've done. They brainwashed people in those states. In Illinois, they've brainwashed them somehow or another. A lot of people need to start thinking for themselves in this country before there's no country left. It's got to be the middle of the road people, because the far left people, they can't find, they can't find their brainwaves to figure it out, you know. So with this whole Obama-Trump thing, anyways, I love President Trump's quote. You know, that was just, that's an amazing quote, because he calls them out and says, well, you know, you did a good job. Wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have to tolerate me at all. I'd be golfing and living the high life, you know, and all of that. And they don't want to hear that. You say, well... we should have played it a little differently somehow. I don't know, you know. Well, there's a whole lot more that happened in the DNC for sure. And you see, Kamala Harris accepted her VP. Historic moment. First woman of color, they say, to have done it. Again, for a Marxist Socialist Party of where identity politics is the rule of law in the law of the land and the moment of the day. Well, that's a big freaking deal, people. Okay. That's a big deal. Big deal. We don't know if she's competent, but we know she is a gender, and she does fit the ethnic background. So she will do, as I shared with you the other day. That's a racist politically comment to say, Malcolm, you know. Well, she says, Kamala Harris, and she looked pretty goofy, by the way. If you watched her acceptance speech and her, I did tune in to see her, by the way. I watched her video thing, and then I tuned in a few minutes and did see her. I broke my rules, actually. It was more than a two-drink minimum for me that night, I got to tell you that. And so she said, and I quote, there is no vaccine for racism. And that's an accurate statement. There's also no vaccine for stupidity either. And there's no vaccine for lying socialist Marxist Democrats either. There is winning elections fairly, Kamala, or Kamala, or Kamili. There is all of that as well. And so I didn't get much more out of her speech. So I will move on quickly, because she did not impress me. But except that one a statement, which will be remembered, there is no vaccine. Sometimes you make a statement, it resonates with your brain, with the public, or with the media, or with somebody. And that was the one there. But I would turn that back on her and say, there's also no vaccine for socialist, stupid, Marxist Democrats. And there's no vaccine for stupidity, and no vaccine for lying to the American people. The only vaccine for that is to win elections like we're going to have to win it in November. So Pocahontas was there. That's right. Elizabeth Warren, and president's favorite Indian candidate. Oh, man, racist. You're racist, Beth. Oh, Elizabeth Warren. So she says, and I do like this quote. This is a really good quote. It's juicy. This is good, people. This is good. This is really, really good. Okay, so COVID-19 was Trump's biggest test. And you know what? He failed miserably. Now you could hear the teeth crunch and crunch, and you could hear her her dentures rattle in there. He failed miserably. You know, that was tough. That was tough for her. America has the most deaths in the world and an economic collapse. Well, okay, so let me tell you what that looks like exactly. So the Chinese tech gods decided to let the people roam the planet as they shut down Wuhan. And Wuhan was shut down, but that we all know their story. And this is why the president doesn't talk to his buddy Xi Jinping, because he was a bad boy. He's a bad boy. And killed a lot of people unnecessarily, sadly. And I'm talking people who were sickly, people who were elderly, and very sadly. I mean, there are people, friends and colleagues on our platform who've lost loved ones from COVID that were in a bad spot in their life. And so it's a serious program. I don't make light of that at all. But it is responsible. The Chinese gods are the ones responsible for this. For being the bad people and not valuing human life and not really caring about anything, and also wanting to pull America down a few steps and wanting to sabotage and kick Trump's ass. There's a whole host of reasons I can give you as to why the Communist China Party, CCP, and Xi Jinping would do such a thing. Dirty, 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 rotten, evil stuff. Why would they do that? Well, I just told you several reasons why they would do that, okay? I don't think Xi Jinping and Donald Trump would be having a cocktail party at Mar-a-Lago anytime soon. I think that relationship is pretty bad off. And they're making sure of that. Some of the steps they're taking and other things they're doing, they're not done yet. China isn't. In fact, they're just getting started with ruffling the feathers here of freedom and liberty and our democracy and our great republic. China, we've been reporting on, is going to be more than a thorn in our side. It's going to be a full-on frontal assault soon enough down the road here. Not a good place, but a lot of this is what politics has brought us to in our nation because of the ineptness of leadership and ineptness of political leadership more so and other factors in our nation. Remember, there is always a price to pay for this stuff. It comes at a cost, my fellow Americans. It's not free.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the Vision of the Voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The thing that gets me about Elizabeth Warren is that her quote, you know, biggest test, you fail miserably, most deaths, economic collapse, whatever. This is the Chinese tech god, what they promised, what they wanted, what they needed something. Nothing had worked to remove President Trump from office. And there are bigger reasons. I've talked to you about it. The way Trump was transforming the court systems was really unsettling to the Marxist, to the Socialist Marxist Democrat Party. Very, very unsettling. And that's reason enough right there. The president was restoring patriotism and conservative values. Our patriotic values in our Constitution, the things that the socialist Marxists don't like and things that they've spent 50 years working on to get us to this special moment in time. So they could take a Floyd incident, politicize it, so they could take a Chinese God-driven COVID deal and politicize that and do their damnedest to pull America down. That's exactly it. And so with Elizabeth Warren and her quote, an economic collapse. No kidding, you have an economic collapse. You locked the blessed country down. You fought to lock it down. You wanted it locked down, and fake Fauci locked it down. Fauci and Birx, frickin' frack, Batman and Robin, they are locked it down. And, you know, that's what happened. And then when you, let me explain to you, when you lock an economy down, when you lock people up into their lives and their homes, and you don't want them, you know, in their businesses, in their livelihoods, and you close the dog parks in the neighborhood, and you're like, let me explain to you what happens in vivid, just plain out English terms. Elizabeth Warren, you have what's called the economic collapse. You do not need to be a brain surgeon to figure that out. That is what you have. That is the product of what you have. It's what you ordered, it's what you asked for, it's what you wanted, it's what you prayed for, it's what you got. And so now to suggest that the president wanted to destroy his economic historical success that the country was on, you would have to be brain damaged and mentally retarded to think differently in just plain English. I mean, you just can't be too right in the brain to think that somehow the president would want to have, and there's no way this president would be wanting an economic collapse to begin with. So having said that, it's clear that Warren is on also high, as we talked about the other day. They're all high here, and she's another one that's high, drinking too much beer from the refrigerator, obviously, and high, high, high as a kite, too much of that marijuana that's legalized there, and popping the drugs probably, you know. It is what it is. I love that. That's the saying today. It is what it is. Okay, it's politics. It's what it is. Life is what it is. Let's move on. And so with that said, Hillary Clinton says, don't give up on America. Despite our flaws and problems, we've come so far. We can still be a just, equal country with opportunities generations never have imagined. Just vote, vote. The teeth clenched, you got to say that. Just vote, vote. I need you to vote. And that's where, you know, the voting comes from and why they're, you know, so important to them to get these ballots out there to the dead people. Because if they can get the dead people to wake up again from the last 100 years, they could potentially win this election. See? They could potentially realize that Americans are asleep and not paying attention, and the dead people maybe weren't paying attention, and they would vote because dead people don't pay attention, and the dead people would vote, and the dead people would be just enough to get them over, you know, get them over the finish line. I think it's something like that anyways, you know. So with all that said, the DNC is moving along rapidly now. And the Wall Street Journal says there are four key takeaways from the evening. You have policy reform areas, gun control, immigration, climate change, and child care. That's the policy reform areas that they are most interested in. Gun control, you know what that means. No more Second Amendment. Bye-bye. That they want to control your guns. So then they can control the... That's what happens in every country. I mean, it's just... That's a fact. Every takeover in the history of man has happened because the powers to be controlled the guns or controlled the power or controlled something against the people. That's so badly why they want the gun control. It's always how they take the less than 1% of whatever it is, the Floyd thing or the gun thing or the problem thing or the whatever it is, and that becomes the monstrous of a problem. Oh, my God. We just got to... You know, it's funny. They take that problem as the fact that we're becoming unglued, the shooting in schools. It's an everyday event. It's widespread. And then they make it a bigger problem by destroying our cities and doing the things they're doing and letting criminality run wild. People are dying. That's okay. That's okay. But we got a, you know, less than a 0.5% over here of something that happened from some Minneapolis dude in Floyd, and law enforcement is bad there. Let's criminalize everything and kill as many more people as we... And none of it makes any sense, people. None of it makes a darn sense. But why would it make sense in a Marxist world? How could it make sense? How? Why? I mean, is anybody surprised here? I don't think so. This stuff is just off the walls. I mean, this is so rich here, people. These shows we do here just write themselves. You don't need anything. They're just... It flows itself from the lunacy of it all. It's rich in crazy shit, just rich. So those four key takeaways. Yeah, the gun control, the immigration. We know what they've done with immigration, sanctuary cities and open borders, and talk about a plague coming in or anybody else you want. And we've got all kinds of terrorists roaming our streets now and all kinds of violent gangs from Central America. Sure, MS-13 gangs. We've got all kinds of stuff happening now. Compliments of the Socialist Marxist Democrat Party of America. Absolutely. But that's they want to talk about. That is a reform area. They don't like that wall being built. That President Nasty Donald Trump is building that damn wall and don't like it because he's a xenophobe and a racist. And then, of course, climate change. That's always the good trusty one, the Al Gore group. We talk about that so much on our platform at America Out Loud. We have scientists who speak about it and many others who are well-informed and well-diversed and far more than I am. I mean, I know what I know and can give you the layman's terms on anything. I'm not an expert in it, but I can just tell you from everything I've seen and everything we've talked about over time, friends, the planet burning up is not our problem right now. It's not going to be a problem here. Let's all be good stewards of the planet. Pick up trash off the roads, you know, keep it clean, do the things you need to do. Don't be reckless. We should all survive another few billion years or so. We'll be just fine. Okay. The Chicken Little thing is only padding their wallets and making them mega rich. They fly around in luxury, beautiful, gorgeous jets. They live in the best places. They burn more energy and stuff. You think they're worried about it? Not for a hot second, because they know full well. It's called a business opportunity. It's like selling Tupperware or Amway. It's a business opportunity. Sign up and get your branch of climate change for your community. You can represent that in your state, my friends, my fellow Americans, in your city. You can be the spokesman for climate change, get ultimately very wealthy. You can be the Gore representative, you see, the clone, Gore clone. You'd be a Gore clone. We'd have a Gore clone here, a Gore clone there, a Gore clone here. You'll be a Gore clone. And you'll be wealthy and rich, screw everybody over, and you'll be part of that club. You see, okay? That's how that works. That is climate change. Very much like selling Tupperware or Amway, your favorite product, you know, whatever it might be. It's a party plan, party plan kind of thing, a direct selling kind of organization. It's pretty cool. So Democrats make robust appeals to women. Of course, this is the whole Me Too movement. Of course, with Bill Clinton there. And I want to get into that Me Too movement next with you. Before I lose time, I got some things to talk about there as well that are important, important for you to know, important for you to step and get out there to the public, you know. Their other point, the Wall Street Journal talks about, with, to finish this, is the concerted effort to not just persuade voters, but mobilize them. I love that one. Love it, love it, love it. That's another big takeaway from night three. Oh, yes, and night four, and night three, and night two, and night one. And it's pretty well their birthright, you know. A concerted effort to not just persuade voters, but mobilize them. Again, you know, you don't have to breathe. Don't have to even be alive. It's okay. And you can do it as many times as you want. It's all good in the city. Vote, 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 vote. That's all we do. Vote. And that's, you just play that tape back and you can hear all of that stress and tension. They're all going to need multiple psychologists by the time they're done here, this group here, psychiatric treatment for the group of them, because they won't be able to say the word vote again when they get their asses kicked. And like, vote, vote, you didn't vote. That's what's going to happen there, you know. Tara Reid. Wow, wow, wow. She's back. She's back. Tara Reid. She is now speaking out why the DNC people have had their day in the last many days and so on and so forth. She is speaking out and she's not happy. She says the Democrat Party is complicit in gaslighting survivors. Now, this is fascinating. Let's talk about this a moment, okay? Because this is the party again, or the potty, depending which side of the railroad track you come from, of Me Too. This is the party of Harvey Weinstein, the party of, you know, Bill Cosby and that NBC guy there, that Matt something there. You remember the name there? I forget in my brain because I totally try to not, you know, have that stuff impact me. It traumatizes me, people. It traumatizes me when I keep that stuff in my brain. I have to lose it after a while, you know. So I don't even remember his name. But you know who I'm talking about there. He was there for 100 years at NBC. And so they are the party of criminal behavior, sexual abuse with women and doing these. They wear the pink pussy hats there, you know, and they run the videos and they look silly as hell. They march, you know, this is the marching group and all of that. And that's the group. That's the group. Again, they put out there in the public what they do. And of course, Hollywood is central to... Well, you know, it's Satan's playground for sure of evildoers who are, as I understand it, are into all kinds of sex trafficking and human trafficking and really some pretty awful, evil, disgusting stuff that I am very passionate about fixing in our lifetime. I don't wish to see any human being tormented and tortured and traumatized, terrorized in such a way. I do not want to see that. And it's something I hope to get more involved with in the future, quite frankly, and do away with this traffic and stuff. Nothing bothers me more and hurts my heart than to see those stories of innocent people being abused and tortured in the way that it is. I get so angry and so uptight and tense when you see, and I say that only because it's happening far too much in the world, and it's very unsettling. It is absolutely the fight of good and evil, and it prevails far more than you think today. It is in your state, whatever state you're in. It is widespread. The problem is very serious. It's one we need to take up here at America Out Loud, and I need your help to combat. We're going to have to do some stuff ahead because... It's not good. It's not good. It's bothersome to me, you know. So this Me Too movement and all those people that play in that horrible, disgusting field, which you cannot joke about. It is not a joke, you know. So Tara Reid spoke out, and this is very interesting now what happens here. You remember earlier this year sometime, was about the sexual assault allegations against Joe Biden, about her story. And the headlines were pretty clear. And of course, there were various adamant denials from the Democrat Party and from Joe Biden's handlers. I mean, he didn't say anything at all about it at the time. He's been locked up or kept put away somewhere, you know. And Tara, who's a lifelong Democrat, by the way, she's a lifelong Democrat. Are you hearing me, my fellow Americans? So this person who says she was sexually assaulted, and the former VP says, I didn't do it. He says, you know, so this, there was an interview Tara Reid just had with Fox News nonetheless. And so she says this, and I quote, I've communicated with other people who are watching this, who had very visceral reactions to what's happening and how sexual assault survivors were being gaslighted, right? Collectively, she tells Fox News now. They are pretending. This is this lifelong Democrat now says. They're pretending that they're the upholders of the Me Too, like a shield. Well, this is what they do on the left, I tell you all the time. This is it right here. Tara figured it out. She's got it figured out. They're pretending that they're the upholders of the Me Too, like a shield. But meanwhile, some of their main Democratic elites, some of the main powerful people involved with the party or party are actually perpetrators themselves. A gas, you see, you know, and it's this denial, collective denial and gaslighting of survivors that's been so concerning to me. And frankly, I think, she says, the Democratic National Committee is complicit because they're not just ignoring it, they're participating in it and enabling those perpetrators, Tara Reid says. Wow, 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 wow. So this is all coming out again now. Well, Fox News has requested a comment and feedback and response from the DNC and from Joe Biden. But I am very certain that hell will freeze over first before they respond to those claims. I am certain. You know, Reid is... I don't know whether these things happen or don't happen. I can't say to you, I wasn't there, people, okay? But I think it gets a little more interesting because of things Biden has said previously, you see? And that's where I think this gets interested. Now, Reid goes on to say this. This is important. And this is not a joke. She says, Tara Reid, I'm a sexual assault survivor. So to me, what the speaker lineup showed is kind of like a thumb in all of our faces. It was really disappointing. Rape culture in the United States is thriving under the Democratic Party. I feel that they are not only enabling, but they are allowing that behavior to continue just by virtue of who they lined up as speakers who have credible sexual assault and harassment allegations against them. And I feel like there's an abandonment of the voices that are trying to be heard that really wanted systemic change. Wow. This is, I don't know if Tara Reid has some other axe to grind here. I don't know. I mean, those are some pretty big comments, people. I can't answer you as to why a Democrat, lifelong Democrat person would go against the Democrat Party in such a way. What the motive would be beyond that, I can't, you know, you have to assume yourself whether she's telling the truth or lying, bold-faced liar. You know, I who the hell knows? But here's the problem here, is Joe Biden is on record with saying, well, and remember the whole Kavanaugh thing, which I won't bore you with all those details again. It's another nightmare. They should start out with the presumption they are telling the truth, women, that is. Then you have to look at the circumstances and the facts. But this is Biden now talking about the interview when he was put on the spot through his handlers about this. But in this particular case, in other words, he said that you always take the woman's word for it. He's on record with saying that through Kavanaugh. You got to take the – they're all on record. Kamala and Cory Booker, they're all, every one of them is the woman's right. Take the woman's right. Come on. I mean, and now, but in this particular case, Joe Biden, only this particular case, all the other cases, that is what you do. But in this particular case, well, you know, you can't do that. And because there's so many inconsistencies, so we can't do that here. But everywhere else, you are to take the woman's word for it, but not here. You all get that, right? You all buying that. That's Tara Reid now. Well, Tara says, I think survivors need a voice, and I would be humbled and honored to help raise and lift that voice if that's possible. There is talk current now about speaking at the GOP convention. Stay tuned, my fellow Americans. It'll be fascinating to see what happens ahead in regards to that. But I think sexual abuse is a sick, sick crime, and anybody who does anything close to it should pay the penalty. It is wrong to abuse any human being, female, male, or otherwise. I am absolutely against any part of that on any level and will not tolerate it. I don't care if it's who it is, on the left, right, politics is irrelevant to this. If you abuse somebody, you need to pay the price. As I say, human trafficking, sex trafficking, all of that, that is absolute, that is humanity's worst possible, it's our worst fear and it's our worst evil. It's the most vile and evil part of humanity that makes me, well, ashamed and embarrassed to be a human being, number one, to be a man. It makes me ashamed and embarrassed as a human being. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I have no tolerance at all for this sort of thing. It should never happen. And the people who do this, those people of the world, are the lowest and the lowest denominator, the worst possible vile creatures of the planet to cause that harm and that pain to a fellow human being. You would have to be, I mean, part of Satan is the only thing that comes out of that. There is no other point or purpose to it. You have to be a Satanist. I mean, there's obviously Weinstein, Cosby, all of these characters, they're all part of Satan's club, because you don't do that kind of thing. If you have a conscience or any values, I mean, you don't do that kind of thing to suffer that pain to another human being. So you can get your rocks off is ridiculous at its best, but it's downright evil at its worst. That's a fight we need to take on in the future here in a big way. We just do. So, well, there's your wrap up and sign up and your therapy for today for the DNC and all of that. I'm going to be interested to see what happens with Tara Reid ahead as well. You also see this other break in massive story with Bannon, Steve Bannon, quite fascinating. We'll be on that in the days ahead. But that is a wild story about the charges of him being arrested. And those claims, they're quite something. Interesting. I have some thoughts to that. I was looking at that wall project a while back and almost got involved in it, quite frankly. Almost did. But, you know, again, I don't know. It's easy to, again, throw accusations and claims, but I don't really know. You don't know either. In this country, we are supposed to be innocent until we're proven guilty. But, of course, in the public court of opinion, that rule does not apply. So you have to be very careful with your public reputation for sure. Thank you, my fellow Americans, for joining me here today. It's time to get involved and get loud.